Today's scripture reading comes to us from the book of James, reading from the first chapter, verses 19 through 27. Hear now the word of God. Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, that one is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, that one will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is God's word to us today, and to the Lord be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who place faith in you. Amen. So this week we are continuing with our series on the book of James. As we heard last week, the start of the new year is a useful time for us to take stock of our lives and to give fresh consideration of how we might live out our faith as Christians. And I think James as a book is a wonderful vehicle for us to do this. In many ways, I think James has a lot in common with the Proverbs of the Old Testament. The Proverbs in the Old Testament are always direct, to the point, and contain a healthy dose of tough love. They speak plainly about the state of our spirituality, of our connection with God. And I think James is very much written in the same tradition. But as we also heard last week, the book of James hasn't always received the warmest reception in the life of the church. With its emphasis on good works, we even heard about that in this morning's reading, some have thought that James is claiming that we can somehow earn favor with God if we simply try hard enough. But this isn't the case at all. In this letter, James never loses sight of the fact that the Christian life begins, continues, and ends with God's mercy and grace revealed in Jesus Christ. Instead of trying to earn God's favor, James is far more concerned with teaching us as believers how to live out our faith in Jesus Christ. So with this in mind, let's take a closer look at this morning's text, starting in verses 19 and 20, where James writes, "Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God." The anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, the opening words that we translate as something like, "know this," these opening words are a direct command from James to his audience. So a better translation of these opening words would be, "pay attention right now to what I'm going to say next." That's what James is trying to say here. And what does he say to do? What does he command us to do even? He says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, be slow to anger. Be quick to hear and be slow to speak. I'm sure we can agree that quite often we get these commands reversed, do we not? I'm sure we've all had the experience of either talking with someone and you can tell this person isn't really listening, they're just thinking about what they want to say next. Or perhaps we've been guilty of this as well from time to time, where we are more concerned with our quick comeback, our retort, rather than trying to truly hear what the other person talking to us is trying to say. All too often, we are quick to speak and we are slow to hear if we hear each other at all. And I think this problem is very widespread in our world today. For proof of this, just look at our wonderful 24-hour news cycle. And also look at social media. So many of the news talk shows, or so they call themselves, simply feature people of divergent viewpoints, more interested in talking past each other and in scoring points or zingers for their side and whipping their respective followers into a hateful frenzy. Back where I come from in the United States, no news network does this better than Fox News. Social media is even worse. It's often filled with vitriol, with name-calling, and outright abuse of fellow human beings. If you ever want to have your faith in humanity shaken, I don't recommend this, but if you ever want to, go to any online forum site and just read the comments section. The way people talk to each other or don't talk to each other leaves much to be desired. And while they can be useful for sharing information and for broadcasting church services, of course, the information we consume and the technology we use to share it often results in treating people in the very opposite way of what James tells us to do. How we communicate often makes us very quick to speak and very slow to listen. Consider just for a moment how many of our personal and collective issues, how many of our familial conflicts, how many of our diplomatic rows could be solved or at least severely softened if we took this advice of being quick to hear and slow to speak. Easier said than done, I know. But James is clear. If we are slow to hear and quick to speak, if we get it backwards, that results in anger and discord. And operating from a posture of anger is incompatible with a Christian life. Now, we all get angry from time to time. We all lose our temper from time to time. What James is talking about here, though, is something deeper, more systemic, of living from a posture of anger and discontent and rage even. Such a posture, that's what's incompatible with a Christian life. Years ago, a friend once said to me that we cannot hear the Holy Spirit if we are consumed with anger. We cannot hear the Holy Spirit if we are consumed with anger. It's that destructive. And for many people, including many Christians, dwelling in anger has become a routine experience, especially throughout the duration of the pandemic. And just to be clear, in saying this, I am not dismissing the extreme toll that the pandemic has taken and is continuing to take on our individual and collective mental health. This is a real issue, of real concern. There is no doubt that this has been an exceedingly hard time for so many people. And of course, there is never, ever, ever any shame at all in reaching out for any help that is needed. We all know that the pandemic has acted as a sort of pressure cooker in people's lives. One friend I was speaking with here in Kemne a while ago compared it to a humorless version of the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Just the same day over and over and over again. We keep going from variant to variant. We wonder, when will this be over? And this frustration, this discontent, this uncertainty, this fear has led for a lot of people to an abundance of anger. In countries like the United Kingdom and the USA and many other countries, a staggering number of people, we are told, have quit their jobs because of how they've been treated by customers and coworkers since businesses and organizations have started to reopen. There is so much right now, there is so much anger in this world. But it isn't all or even mostly bad news. Right now, the flip side of this, as people are trying to find their way into an eventual post-pandemic new normal, as people are considering what they truly want to be part of their lives going forward, I think this is a golden opportunity for the church to reintroduce the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. People, like in a way I can hardly ever recall before, are zeroed in on figuring out what really matters to them. How do they move forward in a happy and holistically healthy way? And what an opportunity to reintroduce people to the true basis of a blessed and meaningful and purpose-filled life of following Jesus Christ. What a great way to combat the anger and discontent in our world by being grounded and rooted again in the love of Jesus. I think this is the solution to what ails us as a world. But to accomplish this great task of reintroducing the gospel, the good news to those who are around us, to accomplish this great task, we must be ready. We have to be ready. If we too are struggling with anger and resentment in our own lives, we too as believers must prayerfully ask God to help us to follow what James says in chapter 1, verse 21, and to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. I think the most important part there is to receive with meekness the implanted word, which can save your souls. In other words, being ready for this new chapter, being ready to live as Christians means dwelling in God's word. And it's impossible to overstate how important this is for our faith. When I was in university back in America, my professor of biblical studies, named Roger Morlang, a very good, godly man, he constantly reminded us in every single class about the importance of dwelling in Scripture in every season of human life. He would say to us, dwell in God's Word and dwell in it richly. And he, along with another teacher of mine, were also fond of saying, apply yourself fully to Scripture and apply Scripture fully to yourself. Apply yourself fully to Scripture, and apply Scripture fully to yourself. On more than one occasion, Roger compared trying to live the Christian life without Scripture, he compared it to trying to drive a car without petrol. And we know how far we get if we try to do that. It simply won't work. If we are not rooted in Scripture, if God's word is not implanted in our lives, then we simply cannot live fully and completely as followers of Jesus Christ. It's so important to hear the word of God, to have it be the foundation for us. But James, of course, wants to go even further. Yes, he says, hear the word, but be doers of the word, not hearers only. And then he compares someone who hears the word of God but doesn't do it to someone who looks in the mirror, looks at his reflection, walks away, and then can't remember what he or she looks like. Reading, studying, and knowing Scripture are essential for the Christian life, but they're not the full picture. James makes it clear for us that knowing God's will needs to lead in doing God's will. Some years ago, I came across what I think is a meaningful quote about this issue from the author Brennan Manning, who wrote a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel. Manning once wrote, "The single greatest cause of atheism, of not believing in God, the single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and then walk out of the door and deny him with their lives. This is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." In other words, friends, our actions matter. Our lives matter. How we conduct ourselves matters. At the risk of being blunt, the credibility of the gospel is tied up with how we live our lives. I'll say that again. The credibility of the gospel is tied up with how we live our lives. To be clear, we do not save ourselves by our actions. We do not save others by our actions. Only God can save. But instead, through our actions, we show that Jesus has saved and claimed us. And we also show the great scriptural truth that Jesus has come into this world so that all who believe should not perish, but have everlasting life in him. So you might be wondering, how do we become doers of God's word? Thankfully, James does offer us some guidance when he writes, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." In the time of James, you'd be hard-pressed to think of two more vulnerable groups of people than orphans and widows. And I think this guidance that James gives us is very much in keeping with the teachings of Jesus, who commands us to love our neighbors, to radically love our neighbors, and to offer compassion to those who are downtrodden and suffering. This kind of love, it can be done with grand gestures. Nothing wrong with that. It can be done with secret acts of service. Or sometimes it just takes a kind word, a smile, taking the time to ask about someone's day. There are so many ways to interrupt this angry world with God's love. We can do this on a daily basis. There are countless ways to show God's love every single day. We just need God's help to open our eyes to see these opportunities when they come. We know we do not get to pick and choose who comes our way. We don't get to pick and choose what each day will bring. But with God's help, we can be doers of the word as well as hearers of the word. And with God's help, we can live lives saturated in God's love for all who we encounter in any given day of our life. So as we continue in 2022, let us ask God for the grace we need to hear his word. But just as importantly, let us ask God for the strength we need to do his word as well. Let us be hearers and doers. This, I think, is how we will all play our part in turning our world back to Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.